Hi, I'm Chris. I'm 41 years old. My favourite film is The Big Lebowski. Welcome to the Pod of C. Cue the music.
Welcome to the Pod of C, the podcast that takes you behind the scenes of the greatest little independent cinema on the planet, The Odyssey in St Albans. I'm Neil Roger from Mix 92.6 FM.
Good afternoon and welcome to another episode of The Podyssey. Incredibly into September. I'm with Roberto, as always.
Hello.
And Nick, as always.
Hiya.
How you doing, fellas? Had a good summer so far?
Yeah, very good. Very chill.
Lovely. Been enjoying the sun and the rain and all that Britain brings it.
All the elements of surprise.
No, not been on a plane yet, but hopefully soon.
I have, but the bit at the end of the plane's good. The bit on the actual plane is, the jury's out. So, what have you boys been watching since we last spoke a month ago? What's been on at the Odyssey?
Been quite a couple of things. I think literally just yesterday, I went to see Star Wars Episode 4, A New Hope, at the Odyssey with a few of my mates. And that was absolutely brilliant. It was packed, nearly sold out. And when the film finished, there was a round of applause. So there was a proper just buzz of energy going throughout that room. It was really nice to watch. I've never seen any of the Star Wars films in the cinema before. So that was a real nice novelty. And getting to see some of those practical effects that still really hold up in like a lot more detail was really great. And we did two showings. And the first time we did a matinee, we had a I can't remember exactly what the organisation was, Nick. I don't know if you
Remember the name. We did have the Empire show up to the screening.
That's always a worry.
Yeah, well, they were just checking identification and tickets, just keeping them in check. But lovely customers of ours decided to dress up, cosplay, adults and children. And it was really great atmosphere for everyone. Also nearly like sold out screening, and I think everyone had a good time. Staff enjoyed it, customers really happy to be there, and really happy to see them dressed up and like be part of the occasion as well. It actually is a really good time when you have sort of certain events like that, so that was a really good highlight.
What was the best costume?
Well, for me, on it was the Sunday I was working, was there was a lad, I don't know his name, but he dressed up before as Ken. He did a Han Solo outfit, like the young Solo, I believe. I think it was like navy trousers or something like that. But that was a really good costume. I think there was a little kid dressed as Darth Vader as well. So that was just like boss material, to be honest. Couldn't fault it.
I saw Boba Fett walking around last night, intimidating everyone. Pretty sick.
nice.
What I love about that is after all the fun and games of the Odyssey, Boba Fett is then just jumping on a bus or into the Sainsbury's local.
Yeah. It's like Paddington Bear. He takes the helmet off and there's a marmalade sandwich in it.
No, you definitely got to appreciate those people who just have that, have that passion. They can, especially going to Comic-Con, you'll on the train ride there, you'll see like lots of people just dressed up, and it'll just, the further you go in, first train you're on, there'll be like one person dressed up. Next train you're on, five. Next train, 20. It's like a nice experience, that sort of stuff.
And almost a silly question now, but both still enjoyed watching Star Wars. Hasn't got old.
For sure, yeah.
I mean, I've not watched it in the original for a while, but I mean, I think this summer actually for me has been a complete rewatch summer. I've been rewatching a lot of blockbusters this summer. I was actually doing a Spider-Man rewatch recently.
Oh yeah, because they reissued them, didn't they?
Yeah, so Columbia are celebrating 100 years as a studio and reissued, I think they reissued Spider-Man 1, but they've been releasing the trilogy in cinemas, and I think they're on The Amazing Spider-Man 2 now, this weekend. But I had to go for the Tobey Maguire trilogy, and that's been a blast to watch in the cinemas again over the summer, because Spider-Man 2 is 20 years this
that's
year.
Insane.
So
that's
that was really great to watch in the screens. Something else.
And again, still stands up.
Oh, totally. Green Goblin is one of the scariest villains, like for me, in the comic book movie, like ever, up there with like, I don't know if I can say Thanos is scary, but like just like magnitude of like villain extra-ness. It's up there.
He's got that presence. He's got that screen presence for
absolutely
sure.
Absolutely.
What I always think about Star Wars is you know, some films, things like CGI kind of almost date them unfairly because now they look a bit behind and backward. In some ways, I think the opposite happens to Star Wars. You watch it and you think, fair play, considering it's before all the stuff we had now, that is pretty amazing still. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, there are still, like, some of the shots of, like, the hovercraft on Tatooine. I'm still a bit, like, trying to, like, work out in my head, like, okay, how would they have that? I guess they'd, like, do one shot on a green screen on them, but then, I don't know, it's like, it does still look really convincing. I mean, we did play the special edition, so there were obviously the kind of CG editions that George Lucas went in and added. But, you know, I actually think there's been a lot of, like, discourse about them over the years. I actually don't think they're that distracting.
They were kind of odd, though. Like, I know that, so people feel very, very strongly about Star Wars, right?
Yeah.
So some people have very, very deep reason this. I've seen the older version and the kind of since he added those bits version. They sort of don't, it almost wasn't worth the effort of adding them all.
I don't think so, no. But, like, I think, I mean, it's, there was one part, there's the Jabba the Hutt part, which is quite infamous in A New Hope, where they added the scene of Han Solo talking to, like, a CGI Jabba the Hutt.
Yeah.
And the infamous part is that he walks over his tail and you do just kind of see him just, like, kind of, like, teleport upwards and then down to, like, seem as if he's, like, going right over the tail. And that looks quite bad. But it also means you get to see, like, more of the original footage they shot, because they did actually shoot a scene with, like, a guy. It was originally just supposed to be a dude playing Jabba. Right. He wasn't, like, a monster. He was just, like, a random
just
guy.
Hustler guy.
Yeah.
And,
so Jabba the Hutt started as just, like, a bloke. Basically. Yeah. Like an evil bloke.
Right. With a mullet, I think.
Yeah. But then they cut that scene, and then he's in 6, and then he decided to add this scene back into 4 with that design in mind. So in that respect, you actually get more footage that you've never seen before as well. True. So, you know, there's silver linings to all of that. But in general, yeah, like, all of the original effects still really hold up. The trench run, like the Death Star escape sequence, it's still so fun. Just like the energy, the adventure, it's all there.
And Han Solo is one of the coolest characters.
Oh, yeah. Still.
Yeah. So we'll come back to Star Wars, because in the next part we're going to be talking about alien films.
Yeah.
But anything else you guys have enjoyed over the past month?
I got to watch My Neighbor Totoro on the big screen as well, another classic film, Studio Ghibli film, and that was really nice to watch in the cinema. I mean, like, seeing families come in and, well, like, also, like, a very wide demographic come in to experience that film, which is just an hour and 25 minutes of pure, like, just
magic.
Whimsy. And Totoro, I'm putting it out there, Totoro is the chillest guy in cinematic history. He just, there's a scene where Mei, who's like a 5-year-old, like, climbs on top of him and just screams at the top of her lungs, and his reaction to it is just to be like wake up and go, oh, and then he just falls back to sleep. Chill guy, love it.
Nice. Okay, so we'll be coming back in a sec, and we'll be talking about alien films, but not the alien films, because that's too easy. Is that right?
Yeah, that's okay. Right. That's what we agreed on.
Right, chaps, so we talked a little bit about Star Wars there. You've also got Alien Romulus coming up, and we'll talk a little bit about the details of that in the last section where people can come and see that. But that prompted a few thoughts about, okay, alien films, discuss. There's a lot of them. They're a very mixed bag. Mm. they never really go out of fashion. Favourites, best and worst? Nick, you go first.
Okay. I do have a couple that I picked out as sort of like current favourites that I do just recommend to anyone out there. First off, I've gone with Arrival, which is the film by Denis Villeneuve. Sorry,
such a good film.
Okay, so I imagine everyone here has seen it.
Definitely.
Good stuff. I'm among good people. just a really good movie about, like, communication with aliens that have come down to Earth via many vessels around the world. And this particular, is it Amy Adams playing?
Yeah.
Like a translator?
Yeah.
Who eventually begins to communicate with them via signs and images. And, but there's also a story in that where, you know what? I've not seen it in a long while, so I'm not going to pretend that I know exactly what that plot point is. But I know there is a very dramatic twist
there,
which has been one of the best twists in a while.
Let's not give it away. I know what it is, but let's not give it
away. No, that's the thing. I can't really, like...
They basically have a message for Amy Adams.
Right.
Amy Adams' character.
Yeah.
Okay, we won't give it away because it's worth a watch.
It is worth a watch.
That twist is, yeah. I remember, like, it's one of those films where you watch it, you're like, that twist comes and you're like,
just production wise too, I think it's shot incredibly well, it's acted very well, it's got a great soundtrack to it. Like, I just think all the elements of making a film are really good in that, and I think deserve watching.
Also,
with that,
do you know what's, I was going to say what's interesting, you'll be the judge of that, but I didn't think of that film at all when we talked about alien films, because it's not like an alien in the sense of, like, it's firing guns and
looking
a bit like an alien.
No,
you know what I mean?
I will say, most of the choices that I had a look at anyway, I was like, I don't want to go for, like, I was nearly going to go for Starship Troopers as one.
Oh, that's brilliant.
Like,
yeah.
I just wanted to, like, I wanted to be like a more communicative side, because my next one is District 9.
Yes, yeah.
It's a great movie.
Film.
Good, great. Yeah. This is good stuff.
Yeah.
But you've seen this. Great movie. For people who don't know, quickly, it's just... So aliens have already been on Earth. They are living in a suburb of Johannesburg, which they're forced in via military sort of leads and things like that. But then you meet this employee, Wickers van der Merwe, played by Sharlto Copley, and that's his, like, film debut as well, which I think is great.
Yeah, fantastic.
Considering his performance is, like, one of the better alien, like, you know, performances. And then later on they meet aliens and get more in depth into, like, the building and the corporation of, you know, what's happening in there. Just a great movie overall, and one of the, like, great accents, like, throughout, I mustn't lie, like, the South African accent really, like, actually, like, helps the movie so much. Like, I don't know, it's got a really unique spin on it.
And it's, I mean, I'm not clever enough to explain this eloquently, but it's interesting that it's from a film of South Africa, because it's kind of a little bit apartheid.
Yeah,
And also it kind of is quite damning of what it reckons humans would be like aliens to appear.
No, I think that's the really interesting thing about sci-fi in general, is that, like, kind of exploring those themes through, you know, concepts of aliens and other planets and whatnot. That's District 9 is really good. It's been a while since I watched that, actually. I do need to give that another watch. Did you say you had another picnic?
One more, just quickly as well. Or I'll try to be. The Vast of Night is a movie.
Ooh,
has anyone heard of this?
No, I've never heard of this.
Never heard of
this.
Okay.
Right,
making
it up.
Okay. No. This is just, like, one I've seen. I think it's an Amazon Prime exclusive.
But
well worth your time if you have it. If you just get a free trial and watch it, it'll be worth the free trial. In the 60s, sort of the dawn of the space race, there are two teenagers that are obsessed with radio, and they discover this frequency, which is unknown. It's just not attached to anything. There's no voices on the other end. And I don't want to give too much away, but it's a great Twilight Zone story of sort of when you dive deep into it, and they follow, like, they track the signal and things like that. It's all just really, like, good sci-fi.
What's that called?
The Vast of Night.
Oh, I love the sound of it.
It's just like so it's like a little, like, Goonies-esque sometimes. Like, it feels like an adventure, but then it gets really tense and you're like, why is this so, like, shocking or gripping? Like, it's really gripping. It's an hour and a half as well. It's really fast watch. And it's just, like, a really good tale of, like, quick sci-fi, like, anthology almost.
So, as one of my ill-informed asides where I don't give you all the facts, right, before we go to Roberto's list.
No, sorry.
Have you guys ever heard of the Wow Signal? That's not the name of a film. That's, like, a real...
No.
Okay, so the Wow Signal, I think, because that... You talk about that to remind me of it. So, basically, in the 70s, you know, NASA or whoever's got one of those kind of big labs that you see on film sometimes. We've got the big stuff, you know, into space. They're trying to get signals and all this. Mm-hmm. And they're kind of trying to tap into a frequency to see if there's any kind of signals bouncing back, and they've put kind of messages out. This is real life.
Yeah, yeah.
NASA have put like messages out there trying to contact extraterrestrial life. And at some point in the 70s or 80s, a little wave comes back.
Mm-hmm.
And I believe it might even still be unexplained, but it was certainly unexplained for decades.
Ooh.
And the reason it's called the wow signal is because, you know, you can almost imagine him as like the Nicolas Cage character in The Rock. The guy sat there on his 15th year of having nothing to do. He's kind of munching his sandwich or whatever. And a signal comes back and he's just written wow. So it's known as the wow signal.
Oh, awesome.
Anyway, have a Google about that. I've almost certainly...
I love a Google about that.
I've only mistold you at least a third of those facts.
No, that sounds good.
It's worth a little Google.
That's kind of what fuels like this whole genre, I guess, is just those unexplained things that happen.
And we absolutely.
Just, you know, can't say what we're going to do with them.
No.
But yeah. Right, shall I? I haven't got a list necessarily, but I've got two films. One I watched recently, and then when we actually got onto talking about sci-fi stuff, I was thinking, I was like, what alien films do I really like? Because I couldn't, like, aside from Alien, I couldn't, like, think, like, which ones am I kind of, like, really into or really connected with? But I've got two. And one I actually watched literally the other week, I got my partner introduced it to me. It's called The Faculty. I don't know if you guys have seen this.
I've seen it.
I've heard it.
I've seen it and enjoyed it.
It's okay, so yeah, it's directed by Robert Rodriguez, but it's written by, I think his name's Kevin Williamson, and he is basically the writer of Scream. Scream 1, 2, and I think one of the other ones, and then another, I Know What You Did Last Summer, I think, as well. So basically this guy who's written a lot of like those kind of self-aware meta slasher films. He kind of wrote this, and they mention it in the film, kind of spin on Invasion of the Body Snatchers, except it's like late 90s. It's got Josh Hartnett, Elijah Wood, Jordana Brewster, and Robert Patrick is one of the teachers. He's like the...
cool.
Oh, what's it called in Terminator 2? The villain Terminator?
T-1000?
Is that his name? Yeah, he's in it as well. But
besides
the point. Stacked cast. And yeah, it's basically a high school where these students discover that there is a Body Snatchers plot happening. And it's really funny because, like I said, it's got that kind of late 90s meta elements where they're all going, if this were a movie, what will we do? How will we find the Body Snatchers and whatnot? Except lots of attitude. Like, a lot of the characters are kind of borderline unlikable, but I enjoy that aspect because they are all like teenagers, so I can kind of there's depth to something.
Is it like
as well.
Tongue in cheek?
Yeah, for sure. That's the perfect term to use. But then Robert Rodriguez's direction, it's quite subdued because a lot of the time Rodriguez is very like loud, but a lot of the time you're like, oh, this is quite subdued. Just lots of characters talking to each other, and then when like a action scene or like a scene where the aliens are attacking starts, you know it's Rodriguez because slow mo starts, someone will get pushed and like fall into a table and debris will go everywhere.
Yeah.
Pff, everything like goes everywhere. Lots of great practical effects. Some of that late 90s CGI that hasn't particularly aged well, but like not enough to deter your enjoyment. It's, I would say, very charming and just a lot of fun. And particularly Elijah Wood's character has like a very good arc where he, you know, zero to hero. I was really surprised by it. I didn't expect to like it.
I really enjoyed that film. It's like a smacking together of like high school films you've definitely seen, horror films you've definitely seen, and alien films you've definitely seen. It kind of smacks all of them into each other. It's really good.
Yeah. No, I highly recommend it. I think it's like, it's kind of not talked about as much nowadays, but I think it's ripe for rediscovery.
Nice.
And then I've decided to just, for my next pick, go right off the deep end, completely the other end of The Faculty. Some of you might have heard of this. I don't know if you've seen it. Under the Skin.
Yeah,
starring...
I've not seen it. I know it, yeah.
Scarlett Johansson.
I've not seen it. For some reason, I never quite fancied it, and I don't know why.
Well, let me set your expectations. It is directed by Jonathan Glazer, who literally recently just bought us Zone of Interest. And when you watch it, you'll notice the similarities in terms of how it's filmed. There's like a lot of detachment from like what's happening. And there are hidden cameras. And why there are hidden cameras is because certain scenes are Scarlett Johansson talking to people in the streets of Glasgow.
No way, like real people.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
And they are unscripted. Actors haven't been in any... Well, they're not actors, they're just people on the street.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah.
And she literally just drove up in a van and starts talking to them. And essentially the reason that's happening is because the plot of the film is that she is an alien picking up people on the street to eventually... Who knows what? I'm not going to tell you. So it is an art house film. So I would say if you go into it and you're immediately like, okay, this is really strange. Yeah, you know, that's, I'd set your expectations to that because it is very cold, quite detached. But one of the reasons I liked it, one, because of what I just mentioned, those unscripted sequences, because it does make you feel like, oh, I don't like this.
It must be quite chilling, yeah.
It's like very naturalistic. Mm-hmm. Obviously, because you know the kind of subject matter immediately going in, you're a bit like, oh. And there's amazing visuals when it actually comes to the alien stuff. Mm-hmm. Very like minimalistic, but there's a particular scene where you kind of see what is happening to the people she is leading somewhere. Mm-hmm. And the visuals are, it's not like gory, it's not like mm-hmm. crazy or anything, but it's just, oh. It makes your skin crawl.
Okay, I'm gonna watch that.
It is, yeah, and it's not too long, so it's. But yeah, lots of scenes of, you know, the music is very. If you remember Zone of Interest, that kind of like violin, like going crazy.
Yeah.
Lots of that sort of stuff. But there is also an arc to Scarlett Johansson's character. I put in air quotation marks because mm-hmm. a lot of times she is just this, you know, thing we don't know what it is. But it does kind of come to this kind of nice conclusion where. There was a bit of an arc and a journey through that. So it's not too detached in that way. Okay. So I do recommend that. It's probably my favourite of Jonathan Glazer's films. And I have a second name for it as well to kind of accurately describe it. And it's Glasgow Simulator 2013. Because like I said, there are just shots of her going through Glasgow streets in a van and people just interacting in different ways with her. So, yeah.
That's incredible.
Two completely different alien films from me there.
I will need to watch both of those.
Yeah, there you go.
Yeah, nice. I didn't think about it. Mine are not as highbrow as your pair. Mm-hmm. I really like the Predator film, the Arnie Predator.
Sure.
It does cross over with the Alien franchise a bit later. There is an Alien vs. Predator.
Yeah, it doesn't have the count though, does it?
but yeah, I absolutely love that film. I love everything about it. I think I watched it at the right age, you know, like kind of maybe 12 and it was an 18, so I shouldn't have watched it. So I found it kind of the right mix of terrifying but unbelievably exciting. The alien is absolutely horrendous. There's a Predator 2, which I enjoyed,
right.
Which absolutely slated by film buffs and Predator fans alike. Because I was in the echo chamber of just myself getting it from Blockbuster, I really enjoyed that.
Mm.
It was only years later I found out people hated it.
Well, it's funny you say not as highbrow because I didn't know this till like a few years ago or recently. But someone brought up that the first Predator film is kind of an allegory for the Vietnam War, in which these American soldiers went in with kind of the expectation of taking over wherever, I can't remember what it is in the film. But then this enemy they can't see starts taking them out.
That makes total sense. It's kind of in the jungle picking them off.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, okay.
I think that's the thing of why... That's the reason sci-fi and particularly alien threat films still survive is because there are these parallels to real life that people can draw upon and then add this context to them that make them both, you know, entertaining in the case of Predator or, like, really interesting in the case of, like, District 9 and Arrival and whatnot.
Absolutely.
I think sci-fi in general, that's why we love it, is because even though it takes us two different worlds, there's also that relatability that storytellers add into it.
Very good. Some classic ones for everybody's list there. So look, we'll take a little break. And when we come back, we'll find out what's coming up at the Odyssey, including Alien Romulus. Including Alien Romulus, which started this chat. Right, welcome to part three of this month's Podyssey. I should mention, Roberto just reminded me in the break there, Chris, thank you so much for your introduction. Chris's favourite film, The Big Lebowski. Great film.
Fantastic film. I actually watched it very recently with a friend of mine who has watched it. It's one of his favourite films. And this year alone, he has watched it like three times. So it is one of those films you can just pop on because it's endlessly quotable.
Oh, 100%.
I feel like it's a lot of people's favourite film.
Yeah, I think so. I think for good reason because even though it is obviously like a comedy, it's a very, like, tastefully done plus off-kilter comedy. Like, there's a lot, like, going against the... And in fact, I think I remember when it came out, people were because the Coen brothers had kind of made a name for themselves. And when they just released this, like, very kind of laid-back, kind of off-the-wall comedy, people were a bit like, what? Why are they doing this?
I think that's why it's almost a cult classic, because I don't believe it was probably a hit, so to speak.
Yeah.
And then people come back to it in, like, the VHS, DVD era, and, you know, there's a gem there to be found.
There's a lot of films like that, aren't there? Like, they don't really get... You know, there's some really famous ones. Annoyingly, I can't remember any of them now. There's ones that, like, are considered... like Shawshank. Shawshank Redemption.
Yeah, yeah.
By all accounts, bombed in the cinema. Everyone's like, it's too long. I don't get why Morgan Freeman's speaking, even though Andy Fraser's main character. You know, there's a lot of films like that need a bit of a time to kind of simmer and stuff like that.
It just shows the versatility of the Coen brothers that we talked about, No Country for Old Men, last week. And we were like, that was such a dark film. And then we're talking about this, and it's like, John Goodman fights German nihilists at the end of this film. Yeah. It's absolutely hilarious.
So yeah, Chris, great intro and great film choice. Three thumbs up from in here. So chaps, before we go, what have we got coming up at the Odyssey that people can go and see in September?
Got quite a few things. So we've got, like, once again, kind of bringing our classics into play throughout the month. We do have, I think, our big classic of the month is The Italian Job, which we are playing on Sunday the 15th at 5:30.
Love it.
Which I have to confess, I've seen a bit of it, but it was at Christmas, so I couldn't hear it. And it was only like 30 minutes or 40 minutes before it got turned off. So I haven't properly seen The Italian Job. But I do really want to, because I am a big fan of, like, car chases in cinema. I know The Italian Job supposedly has, like, one of the best, like, one of the top five.
It's so choreographed. It's, like, it's incredible. Superb film. And also kind of made minis sort of cool forever.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, they, I think there was, I can't remember, I can't think of a statistic, but the mini kind of was brought back into play by The Italian Job.
And it gave everyone their go-to Michael Caine impression when they go, only supposed to blow the bloody doors off.
Yeah.
Everyone's got that. And it's just a great cast. Noel Coward is the prison ward as well. And things like that. I want to just quickly mention as well, my family friends knew a stuntman who drove one of the minis in Turin that chase. Yeah.
Wow.
I've second name I'm blanking on, but his name was Roy. And he was a stuntman for many films, but I initially remember him saying, yeah, he drove one of the minis in Turin while they were filming this movie.
What a claim to fame. Well,
which is amazing.
That is super.
Unfortunately, he's no longer around with him, but God bless him.
Oh, yeah, good for you, Roy.
Yeah, man.
Quick fact about The Italian Job as well. Slightly weird, because I don't know if you can think of the soundtrack of that, but it's very kind of English and cheery and like, all right, mate. Mm-hmm. Quincy Jones did the soundtrack.
Oh, no. Awesome.
Which is sort of mad, because it's all like, tie up your bow on it, fair, we got it, all that kind of thing. Yeah.
Yeah, he's always fantastic. In fact, we were at a pub quiz recently, Nick, and there was a song that was played on the audio round that was in like Spanish, and we were, I'm guessing it was actually Italian probably. Mm-hmm. And we didn't know what it was, and then it was revealed it was written for The Italian Job, and we were like, oh, that's a really nice piece of music. I couldn't tell you what the name was. I'll have to go search it out, but I'm sure some listeners who know the film probably know what song it is.
So Italian Job, well worth a look. Great film. What else have you got coming up?
Well, I know one film I have seen already that we're bringing back into The Odyssey, well, for the first time, will be Kneecap. This is an Irish music film. So there's a group, a trio that exist called Kneecap, and they have sort of infiltrated the music industry as well as the movie industry, because they've got one album
and they're
out.
Like a real band.
They're an Irish rap trio.
Okay.
And I think their basis is that they want to keep the Gaelic language alive, so they rap in Gaelic, and they don't really care what anyone else thinks about them. Recently they did a screening for this movie and they turned up blind, drunk, high, things like that, because that's what they're all about. And this is what this film is all about as well. Not just obviously about drink and drugs, which it is a lot about. It's a lot about, you know, their uprising as a trio, like basically starting in jail, finding people who were like alike and who could like play 808s and things like that. And then they get together and do gigs and suddenly like sign this deal. But this is like the movie more is like an origin sort of piece, but there's so many like pieces of inspired art, so like stop motion moments in it. Very good, like awesome. Slow motion psychedelic experiences. But then also just really like good club, loud and action packed, like you know that like follow camera style?
Yeah, I do.
Like over the shoulder, like stuff like awesome. That. It's really creative, but it's really just like a cool indie movie. Good foreign movie, I don't know if you call it.
But I know what you mean.
But it's subtitled, so it's like it's half English and you know.
Sounds amazing.
Is it? Do they play themselves in the film? Or
yes.
Is it
reacting? They are playing themselves as well. So like it's a very like you know inspired sort of way of going about it, I suppose, because it's all from the ground up. Yeah. It's just them doing the album, them doing the movie of themselves. Like they've worked really, really hard for it. It seems, and it's really showed off. I think it's paid off.
I love the sound of that.
Yeah, music. I'm really interested in that.
Yeah, I love the sound of that.
There's been a lot of like kind of music, I guess, I don't know if you'd call this a biopic, but biopics, but I've seen like some of the marketing and it's already like, there's like something that says like British advisory, Irish language on it.
Yeah,
it's really playing up like what you said about the Gaelic stuff. So
even
I'm
the marketing, really it's a bit like that too,
I think one of our colleagues sent us, there's like a message they have for cinemas about like not talking, not putting your phones, and it's very harsh language, but it's very, very funny.
Yeah, over 18 for that one, I'm afraid.
Yeah.
No, I like the sound of it. And do you know when that is? I mean, people can check the listings anyway. But.
Yeah, no, that'll be on, what is it, the Thursday 26th of September at 7:30.
There you go. And of course, you can find out all the different films going on by looking at the Odyssey's website, checking the listings. Chaps, that's it, incredibly. I don't know how this happens. It feels like about five seconds ago we met outside. it feels only right that the way to say goodbye is Michael Caine related. He's come up in conversation. I don't think we can avoid it. Who wants to go first?
Are we going to do Alfred or are we going to do 60s Caine?
Like? Up to you.
I reckon I could try Alfred.
Okay.
I don't know. What's your preference?
You know what? I'm just going to...
I'm just going to go for it.
Okay. I'm going to go for it. Goodbye, everyone. Thank you for listening to the Podyssey.
It's good. Yeah.
Okay. I'm going to give you an image for this scene, which is, you know, that scene in Dark Knight Rises where he's like talking to Christian Bale and he's like crying because he's going to leave him. Very romantic. Okay. Here's my, this is that scene, but different context. I can't believe, Master Wayne, you're not listening to the Podyssey every month. I can't believe it. You just got to go to the Mix 92.6 website, but you won't. Goodbye.
It's good.
Okay.
It's very good. I can't believe you're not listening to the Podyssey every week. You're only supposed to listen to the bloody podcast. Right. That's got to be that. Wicked. Fellas, as always, thank you so much. Thoroughly enjoyed it. And thanks, everybody. We'll see you next time. Say goodbye.
Bye.
See you later, guys. Bye.
Thanks for listening. If you want to drop us a line here at the Podyssey, you can email me at neil.rodger@mix926.com. You can find out all about what's on at the Odyssey or what's going on with Mix 92.6 FM by checking out the websites and searching them on all the socials where they can both be found.